Sounds like everybody's having a big time. almost hate to disturb the fellowship. When I was a kid, they tried to teach us when you came in the door, you shut up and didn't open your mouth till the service was over.
Amen.
Unless you were singing. Now, unless you were singing or unless we called on you to pray. But I like the fellowship a lot better.
Amen.
I can't imagine those 12 disciples and Jesus sitting around just looking at one another and not opening their mouth. I can imagine there was a lot of teasing and sharing and laughter. And I think that's the way it's going to be in heaven. We're going to be praising the Lord, but I think there's going to be a lot of joy, a lot of sharing, a lot of fellowship. I mean, after all, you think about people that you have gone on before and you can't wait to see them. And then there are others that are going to come on and share with you. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. It's all because of what Brenda just played. He's the lily of the valley. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. I pray that Jesus is the fairest of 10,000 to your soul. We're so glad that you're here today at Barber's Grove, both in the service, maybe in the parking lot, later listening by the website. All of you, we're so glad that you can be a part of what God's doing in this community. May we pray. Father, we thank you for the joy of the Lord. And we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. You've told us that in your word. Thank you for all of those that have gathered here, those that might be in the parking lot, those that also, Father, have chosen to listen later to the website. Each one, Father, I pray that the Spirit of God will minister to. You know their need. You know the heart. Lord, start with me or end with me. But, Lord, may all of us experience your presence anew and afresh today. Lord, we love you and we praise you. Thank you for every blessing in life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and happy fall, everyone. It's a look around. It's time for fall. We're going to, as we normally do, traditionally every month, the beginning of every month, we want to recognize our birthdays and our anniversaries. And so at this time, I want to do that. This is the birthday list that I have for October. Jim Hopkins, October the 8th, Rita Linker, October the 13th. Greg Edwards, October the 16th, Lionel Hahn, the 23rd of October, and then Brenda Burrish, the 31st. So those are the birthdays that I have. Did I miss anyone? All right, if somebody will give me a key somewhere on there, we'll sing Happy Birthday.
Happy Birthday.
Some anniversaries that we want to acknowledge. Jeremy and Shelby Barbie, October the 1st. Chris and Veronica Whitley, October the 14th. How many years there, Mr. Chris?
33
years. Man, you don't even look that old, Chris. And Gary and Tonda Hamilton, October the 18th. How about it, Gary? How many years?
I can't count.
Oh. 41 years. Wow. Well, you know what? 41. That probably going to deserve an applause for it. And that applause is for Tonda, because God bless her. That's all I can say.
She needs prayer.
Tony and Ruth Eford. Mr. Tony, how many years, brother? 27 years. Well, that's another beautiful thing right there, I'll tell you that. Great couple, I'll tell you that. They really are. So let's give them all a hand. Why don't we do that? All right. Okay. Now, for our hymn scene today, I went back and picked one. Goodness, I don't know how long it's been since we've sung this song. But it's a great song. It says, I am resolved. And that word resolved means I'm convinced, I'm decided, I'm going to do it. And it says, I am resolved to follow Jesus. Let's look at page 301. And we are going to ask you to use your hymnals today. We still are waiting on everything to be fixed, and I know it will. These guys are working feverishly to get it done. And it's not easy when you start trying to replace equipment that they're going to replace and get it all worked again in sync. It's a tedious job, and we thank them for the hard work. Page 301, as we stand, let's sing I Am Resolved. Let's do verses 1, 2, and 5 together this morning, okay? Some announcements for you this morning. Before I do that, I want to say a special thank you to our decorating angel. And boy, if that's an amen, if I've ever heard it, I want to tell you. Look around you. If you don't believe it's falls here, everything's up here is complete. I don't need but one other thing, and that's a piece of pumpkin pie. And if I had that, I'd be in good shape. But that's for later. I wouldn't need it now. Angie, thank you. It's a beautiful, beautiful job. Thank you very much.
My wonderful husband helped me yesterday.
Oh, really? He did? Mr. West. Well, all right. Let's give them both. Yeah, he appears to be. He is a very helpful person. There's no doubt. No doubt about it.
He had that swag in there.
Oh, okay. It's a great job.
That would be hard.
Yeah, it would be. It would be for me, for that's for sure. All right, okay, in the way of announcements that I have some things I want to share with you. Of course, let's not forget Wednesday night, folks. We're still having a wonderful time studying the Bible here on Wednesday night. So I want to ask you, please come and be with us. We ask that you remember that we're here and it's having a wonderful time together. Pastor Ed, he probably invokes a lot of nice discussion from us, and he pulls things and makes us ask questions, and we get answers, and we have a good time together. So come be with us. Baptist Men Retreat, Jeff. We got one Baptist Men Retreat October the 14th, 16th. And see Jeff Keplinger if you for details, or if you want to go, we want to have you. It's a Baptist Men Retreat, but that word, any man that wants to go, you're welcome to come. Any young man you want to come, come and be with us.
It'll be well worth your time.
Yeah, and again, we want to thank David and the Talley family for allowing us to come, and they're going to host that event in Virginia again, as we've been doing in Speedwell.
That's the Barbie Grove Annex.
We'll take that. Okay. I love it. All right. And then also the Golden Agers. The Golden Agers are going to, we're going to go take our mountain trip, and that's going to be the Tuesday, the 12th of October. And some of you have expressed the desire for me to get a bigger vehicle. Because of the van, it gets a little claustrophobic if we're going to take that many miles in it. So I'm going to do that. I promise you, we're going to have a bigger vehicle, and we're going to have one of these mini buses. They call it party buses. And Jeff asked me this morning if we're going to do a party bus. Is it going to have a bar in it? And I said, No, we're not going to party that way, Jeff. Brad bless your brother, but we are going to have a bigger vehicle and. David has consented to help drive if we need a driver. I'm working with one right now that does supply drivers. So all I'm going to ask you to do, if you have not signed up because of you are afraid that you might be a little bit tight, claustrophobic in a regular 15-foot passenger van, go ahead and sign up. We're going to make arrangements for you to be a little more comfortable. Okay. It'll be October the 12th. We'll leave here on Wednesday. Yeah, that's a Wednesday, and we've talked to the pastor. We'll do one of two things. We'll either let that be our Bible study on the van, or we will come back in time. So it's whatever the pastor decides we need to do is the way we'll make it work. So that's where we'll be there. So Golden Agers, let's go, and let's go to the mountains, and we'll gather a few apples, if you like, while we're there and have a good time together in fellowship. We also have been asked to join with other churches and for a trunk or treat. This is a fall festival at Oakboro, and it's sponsored by the Oakboro First Baptist, I believe, Jeff. Is that right? And that if you want to have a car there with and a trunk, please see Jeff Keplinger quickly so let them know that we're participating in this event. So,
if you're interested, meet me down front after the service. I'll explain to you what it is. It's real simple. Could have a lot of fun doing it. Interested, be down front.
Okie dokes. I've got one note in your bulletin. You'll see that Neil Jackman has been a new room number, 404-A. Kathy says she's getting along very, very well, Kathy, right?
Sure.
And so that's wonderful news for Miss Neil. That's all the announcements I have. Did I leave out anything for anybody, anywhere? All right. So you're informed. Let's now go to our prayer time. We have several people that have been asked already this morning. Let's remember Ann Barbie and report on Ann Barbie. She did have surgery. She fell and broke her hip. I believe it's the hip. I believe that's right. And she has had surgery, and I think she's doing pretty well, Janice, as much as she could be expected right now. But let's keep Ann in prayer. Ann has had some real tough times of it, and she really has, between the arm and now the hip. So let's remember Ann, and as she's recuperating, I believe God's going to bless her where she'll be able to be just fine. Also, I have Janice Williams. I was advised this morning that Janice Williams is now, she has been, she has COVID again for the second time. And so let's remember Janice on that. And then Mr. Gary Hamilton. Gary is with us today and back there, and he's recovering from his surgery, and he looks like he's not too worse for wear. And do what? Oh, no. No, Gary, that's going to be quite a job there. There'll be a team have to come in for that one. I kid Gary all the time, but I think he knows that we love him and we've been praying for him. And Gary, I know you're doing well, and that's good to know. Good to know. He did tell me that with the loss of two toes, he would have discount for pedicures, and so only through Gary. Yeah, that's right. Count to 18. Oh, it's just a beautiful time. All right, anyone else for prayer requests this morning, please? Yes, Lori.
I know that Jeff's brother is on prayer list, but his surgery is
Friday.
Yeah, Friday.
Oh, that's right, Jeff.
And y'all give me traveling mercy, so I'm going to go get my mom and bring her back.
Pray for me.
All right. Is your mother doing well, Jeff?
Yeah, she's doing fairly decent.
Okay, all right. Kenny, how about your mom? Is she doing better?
I'd say she's
stable. And Lionel, your mom and dad's doing about stable as they were. All right, anybody else anywhere? Yes, ma'am, Stacy.
David's mom, Jenny Talley, is having hip replacement next Monday, the 10th.
Oh, my goodness, okay. Okay. Yes, Pastor?
Rosina.
Yeah. Yeah, Rosina is under the weather this morning. Okay. Are there others? All right. Then let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this time of worship you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for this church that stands and stands up for the right. And Lord, we appreciate you being part of us, Lord, in our worship services. And Lord, as we look over the congregation today, we thank you for each one who came today. And Lord, that came for a purpose. That purpose is to worship your name and to listen to your word. And Lord, and your word sung and your words taught. And then Lord, we, as our visitors out there today, Lord, we want to thank you for them and thank you for their time to come. And Lord, they are indeed our special guests, and we thank you, Lord, for their attendance today. And then, Lord, as we go forward in our service today, Lord, we ask you continue blessing upon us. And Lord, there are those among us, Lord, and those who are not with us today that have asked for special prayer. And Lord, I want to lift them up to you, Lord, and specifically to remind us all to pray for them. And Barbie, Lord, we pray for her as she's failed and broken her hip. We pray for healing of her body. We pray to give her courage. Pray to give her strength. We ask a special blessing upon Janice Williams as she has COVID again. And Gary, Lord, with a praise report that he's here, Lord, and he's doing well. We thank God for the blessings already upon him. But Lord, we know that still some adjustments he has to make. And Lord, we pray for complete healing of his body. We pray for Jeff's brother, Lord, today. We lift him up to you, and also his mother. We pray for Jeff and Lori as they support and as they are caregivers to that family. And then Miss Judy Talley, Lord, we pray for her as she will be going under hip surgery. We pray for her and pray for the family. Pray for all that, Lord, that will be supporting them. And then, Lord, we will lift up Miss Rosina to you today, Lord. We pray for her as she's under the weather today. Now, Lord, we also don't want to forget, Lord, those that are hurting in Florida, those that are hurting in South Carolina, North Carolina. The devastation, Lord, that is there. Only you, Lord, can supply their needs. It seems the needs are so great. But we thank you for the teams that are already on the ground. We thank you for all that's being done. We ask, Lord, your blessings upon each one who has a part. We ask, Lord, for courage. We ask for wisdom. And most of all, Lord, we ask your blessings upon that community, that state, those states that are suffering today. Now go with us now further in this service today, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that everything we do will be to uplift your holy name. And these blessings I pray in your name. Amen. Our praise song today, our praise message today is to take time to be holy. You know, the pastor did something that reminded me sometimes we don't take really notice of the songs we sing. We sing them and it's beautiful, but do we let the words sink in? I want to read this first verse to you. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with the Lord. Now that simply means pray a lot. Pray a lot. Speak oft with the Lord. Abide. Trust him. Abide in him always, And what? Feed on His Word. All of the things that you hear the pastor preach, the Sunday school lessons, this song is telling us to. Help those who are weak. We just ask you to do that. Forgetting in nothing His blessings to seek. What a beautiful, beautiful song that we're about to sing. If you want, turn to page 446. 446. And let's stand and sing all four verses of Take Time to Be Holy. Dismissed. Take Leonard seriously. Every sentence in that song has a message for us. And in his prayer, Leonard mentioned the feet on the ground in Florida and other places. And my understanding is that North Carolina Baptist on mission already in Florida. Sometimes we beat the Red Cross. Our North Carolina Baptist on mission beat the Red Cross to some of these places that are hard hit. And just remember, a big portion of what funds North Carolina Baptist missions, you just finish giving to in our North Carolina mission offering.
In other words, you have a part. You may not be able physically able to go to Florida, but your money put somebody else there and bought food and water and other things so that they can minister in the name of Jesus on your behalf. And almost invariably, there are people that get saved. In the sermon last week, I told you about a fellow that got saved up in the mountains last year when they had the floods. North Carolina Baptist up there ministry. Sometimes we think, well, we're just here in a little church. Hey, folks, you're all the way around the world. Yeah. You're all the way around the world ministering in the name of Jesus. And thank the Lord for that. Thank you that you care. I thank the Lord that you care. Now, this week, I did a little adding. Adding, like one, two, three. Adding up. And best I can figure up, I've been preaching 60 years. No, 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 no. That wasn't the point. That's not going to be the point.
Okay.
Okay.
Take it back.
You're taking it back. Take it back. Okay. I was hoping he was going to say, well, you don't look 60. But I've had five interim pastorates. I've had four pastorates. And rounding them off, 13, 14, and 16 years. Those first three pastorates, and counting interim and pastorate, I've started into my sixth year here at Barber's Grove.
Amen.
That's unreal. But now I've tried to keep up with the people from all of the churches. You know, when I left, I just didn't forget them. I mean, they were and are dear friends. And I've tried to keep up. And I still keep up with some of those folks. And you can imagine that in 60 years, there's been some good things and some bad things. Some bad, not so bad, good, and better things. And tonight, I want to talk about, from the Bible, a sorrow and a joy that I've experienced. It's the same joy and sorrows that were found in the Bible in the New Testament. Now let's do the sorrow first, because that's the one that hurts. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this one is the one that hurts. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Now the last two people there, they were all on ministry. Because you know Titus is one of the books of the New Testament, so He was in ministry. But the sad thing is, the thing that gives sorrow is that this guy Demas had forsaken Paul and gone back into the world. He'd fallen in love with the world. Paul gets all the publicity and the fame, but Paul didn't do everything alone. Paul had a ministry team, and from time to time he'll say, Luke's with me, and Titus is with me, and Timothy's with me, And when you look in earlier scriptures, you find that Demas was a part of Paul's ministry team. I don't know what his role was, whether he did some side teaching or crowd control or what, but Demas was a part of the ministry team. But there comes a time when Demas forsakes the ministry. When Demas says, that world out there looks so attractive. That world out there looks like something I want to be a contributing part of. And so Demas says, I quit. I quit. And he leaves. One of the sorrows of being at my age and pastorate and pastoring and everything is the fact that there are folks that are just like Demas. Some of them are preachers. Some of them are deacons. Some of them are choir members. Some of them are Sunday school teachers. Some of them are just what we would call ordinary sit in the pew folks. But at one time they were on fire for the Lord. At one time they were faithful in the Lord's house. At one time you could count on them. But there came a time in their life where they said, I'm out of here. Now, for some of them, they slipped away just almost like immediately. For others, it was just a gradual slipping away. Now, years ago, we used the word, they're backsliders. In other words, they have slidden away from their faithful commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And they no longer serve him. And it breaks my heart to think about what happened to folks that were on fire. What happened to folks that were in love with Jesus? They were in love with the church. And of course, you know, as the spiritual head, I say, could I have done more? Could I have done something differently that would have kept this one or that family faithful in the Lord's house, in the Lord's ministry? And of course, you know, some of them are long since, you know, they were still faithful when I left the church, but now they're no longer faithful. The sorrow is of those who have dropped away. Now, let's look at the joy. Look at 2 and 3 John. And depending on how your Bible is, New Testament's laid out, my 2nd and 3rd John face one another. Near the very, it's not the Gospel of John now. You've got Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, 2nd and 3rd John. And as John writes in 2nd Epistle of John, verse 4, he says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. 3rd John, again in verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Now that excites me. That gives me joy. To think about people that they love the Lord, they serve the Lord 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, and they're still serving the Lord. Now, some of them have reached an age where they can't be as faithful as they one time did. Maybe they don't drive at night. Maybe they have aches and pains where they can't get to church as often as they one time did. But as best they can in their physical condition, they still are serving the Lord. They're faithful. They have been. They always have been. And I imagine even as I make these two comparisons, you can look around and say, well, this one has been a part of Barbie's Grove for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. And you can also think of some that, you know, sat in the pew beside of you 20 years ago, 30 years ago, that don't go to church anywhere now. Now, I'm not talking about people that have gone to other churches. I'm talking about folks that just don't go to church at all. The joy is in those who have been so faithful and have continued to be faithful. And John says, as he writes these two letters, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. And it gives God great pleasure whenever folks continue faithfully serving the Lord year after year after year. It's not always easy. You remember Paul writes to the Galatian Christians, "Be not weary in well-doing, for in a while you're going to reap the harvest." Now, those of you that have done a little gardening, you go to that blueberry bush and pick off one blueberry and put it in that bucket, and you think, man, how long is it going to take to get a bucket full? Or you pull one green bean or one pea off the vine and put it in a basket, how long? But you know what? You keep at it, and pretty soon you look down and say, well, my bucket's full, my basket's full. And so it is in serving the Lord. Sometimes we think, will it ever amount to anything? But if week after week and month after month and year after year we serve the Lord, eventually there's going to be the harvest. There's going to be hearing the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant. I doubt old Demas thought we'd be reading his name 2,000 years later as a backslider. And if the Lord were tarry 2,000 years from now, I think he's going to be here very soon. But if he should tarry, how will our names be listed? How will our names be listed? One of the prayers I pray regularly is, Lord, don't let me mess up at my age. Because, you know, you can mess up at any age. Now, I've been pondering the question, what makes or leads a person to backslide or to remain faithful? What is it that makes the difference? What keeps them on track? Or what gets them off track? Now the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Paul reminding us that anybody at any stage can mess up. And I've known people that have said, I will never, you'll never catch me doing this, that, or the other. I'll never fall, I'll never backslide, but yet, eventually they did. So, as I said about myself, I pray, Lord, I want to stay faithful. And I think there's a couple of things that will make a difference. One is fellowship. We need one another. We need one another. I don't know whether it's a true story or a made up story, but I'm sure at some point it's been in a Sunday school book as an illustration of a pastor who's visiting a church member, and they're sitting there in front of the fireplace, and this church member's not been in a long time, and he says to the pastor, I don't need church. I can be a good Christian without church. And the pastor reaches over and takes the tongs, reaches in and pulls out a red hot coal and lays it out on the hearth, and in a few minutes it starts growing cold and the fire's going out. And the pastor, by that simple illustration, is making the illustration that we need one another to be on fire. We need one another for encouragement. You know, sometimes you're the one, you're the prayer. You're praying for others that are hurting. Sometimes you're the prayee. You're the one that's hurting and somebody else is praying for you. Sometimes you're putting your arm around a brother or sister saying, I love you. Can I help you? Sometimes it's you're the one and their arm is around you saying, I love you and I care about you and can I help you? At one time or other, we all come into one category or another. Now, let's look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews, chapter 10. Beginning of verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. The writer of Hebrews there saying, listen, we need to encourage one another. We need to encourage one another to serve together, do good works, he says. We need to provoke one another to love each other. We need to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And we need to encourage each other to be faithful. He said, especially as you see the fact that Jesus could come in any day. Now, I realize I'm no fool about this. I realize that there are times and seasons in life when we have to be caregivers. There are times and seasons in life in certain professions where we have to work. But how faithful are we? How faithful are we? One of those ladies that I know has been serving the Lord at least 60 years. At one time was a nurse in the hospital. Back then, nurses worked 8-hour shifts. And every other Sunday, she had to work. But you could count on her the 2 Sundays she didn't work. And you could count on her all 4 Sunday nights. And I can't imagine being on your feet in the hospital for 8 hours or more, dealing with all that the nurses have to deal with. I'd be real tempted to come on and put my feet up. But you could count on her then. You can count on her now. She called me last year and she said, they're still wanting me to teach Sunday school. Should I do it? And I talked to her and counted. So she taught Sunday school last year. This year she didn't even bother to call me. She just went in and took the job back. She has heart issues. She has lung issues. But she's still serving the Lord. Whenever we have issues that we have to take a break, God understands. But what about our faithfulness? Turn with me now over to the book of Romans and first chapter of Romans. And something hit me when I was reading this in my devotions recently. Romans chapter 1. Beginning at verse 10. Romans 1, verse 10. Making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end of you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Paul had a desire to go to Rome and meet with these Christians. Now, some of them he knew by name, because you can read that at the end of the book. But at the same time, many of them Paul didn't know. But I find it very interesting that he says, I want to come so that I can impart to you a blessing. But then he goes on to say, we're going to be a blessing to one another. If someone so near to God as the Apostle Paul felt like other folks could bless him, and he needed their input and their blessing in his life, he needed their fellowship, how much more do we need it? Paul says, I can't wait to get to Rome, because I want to be a blessing to you and I want you to be a blessing to me. And wherever we go, we want to be a blessing, and we want others to be a blessing to us. While Pam's mother was in her final months, there were three ladies that sat with her. And last week, one of the ladies invited us to come to her church. And so last Sunday night, we went. Their location is not good. Their sanctuary is not that great. But they had as many people or more than we have here right now on Sunday night. And I believe a third of the congregation sang. Preacher get up and say, okay, David, you and Rita come sing for us. They'd pop up here. Okay. Gary, you and Tom to come sing for us. And they got up there and they were solos and duets and trios and quartets. And either somebody was really good with the sound system or it had been arranged ahead of time, because they sung songs I'd never heard of. Some of them, most of them, I'd never heard of. Kind of songs that the singing towers would have sung. And then the preacher preached about 15 or 20 minutes. Great service. And it was a blessing. It wasn't like we do it, but it was a blessing, because we impart fellowship to one another. And backsliding many times began when we no longer feel the need to fellowship with our brothers and sisters. Maybe we get our feelings hurt a little bit, get angry about something, pull back a little bit. And when we get out of fellowship, the backsliding begins. But there's another thing that I want to mention, and that is, a lot of times our backsliding begins with a poor diet. A poor diet. You know, if you only eat junk food, I'm thinking now about, and it's not here at this church, about this guy. And you know, when he was a maybe 10 or so, his mama says, well, he'll only eat like 7 or 8 things. And none of them were healthy. And it wasn't long until they diagnosed him with some kind of syndrome of some kind. And this kid's been messed up, and now he'd be probably 40 years old. Unless something's changed, he's still messed up. Poor diet can mess us up physically, but it can also mess us up spiritually. And a poor diet can be in two areas. One, we listen to the wrong stuff most of the time. As Pam was talking about in the Sunday school lesson. The news. We listen to people . You ever encounter people that don't know what they're talking about? they have opinions, and they want you to believe their opinions. And, you know, we listen, and next thing you know, we believe the same trash that they believe. Poor diet. But a concern I have goes beyond that. And that is, folks, that at first eat the right stuff spiritually, but then because they get careless, they quit eating the right stuff. Illustration that I have in mind is this. Now, especially when our kids were home, all the recipes that we have call for big dish. You know, you make a squash casserole that's in a dish this big. Well, that was great as long as Stephen was there. Because we could make one, and while he was on the phone that night, he'd finish up what we didn't eat for lunch. Some of you know how it is with your kids. But now what happens? Pam and I take out a section. The next day we'll take out another section. It's not quite as good the second day as it was the first, but okay. Third day we'll take out a section. Fourth day, say, you want some more of that squash casserole? Nah, let's wait a day or two. And about 2 weeks later you say, what's this green stuff growing? Yeah, what's this green penicillin we're growing in the refrigerator? And yet, that's what some people do spiritually. They don't keep growing in the Word of God. And the Word of God becomes less and less and less pleasant to them. Yes, amen. Until finally the Word of God becomes nothing to them. Isn't it interesting? When God rained manna on the children of Israel in the wilderness, he could have put it down in enough for a year's supply if he'd have wanted to. I mean, God could have done it in a year's supply, a month's supply, 6 months' supply. But God says you got to get a new supply every day. Except on, you didn't have to get a new, you got two so that you didn't have to on the Lord's day. But every day they had to have fresh manna. And folks, if you want to stay strong with the Lord, you've got to have fresh biblical manna regularly. It can't be a hit and miss thing. It's got to be a regular thing. One more scripture, and then we're done. Psalm number one. And this already, in a sense, is a summary of the sermon. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. In other words, he's not listening. His diet's not bad news. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate, what, day and night. He's got a fresh diet of the Word of God all the time. And what's the result? He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I could stand here and quote or cite the names of probably 30 or 40 people that no longer serve the Lord, and it gives me great sorrow. But I could stand here and quote or cite the names of an equal number that have been faithful year after year, and they give me great joy. May we all live in such a way that we bring joy, not just to the preacher, that's not the deal, but to the Lord. Yes, to the Lord. May we please Him. May we be on the roll of those that year after year lift up the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. I believe it was the second stanza of that song we just sang about drawing near to Jesus, and that those who see us will know we're Christians as they see Jesus in us. That's not exactly the way it's worded, but that's exactly what it says. Let's pray. If there's someone here that needs to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you just get up and walk down the aisle right now? And I'll meet you there, and we'll talk about your relationship with the Lord. If there's someone that needs to become a part of this church fellowship, would you come? Would each one of us make a commitment? Lord, I want to be faithful all the way to the end. Lord, I want my witness to my family, my co-workers, my community, my church. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. No turning back. May that be our commitment today. And Lord, thank you that we don't have to do it in our own strength, but we have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit to enable us to do that which we cannot do in our own flesh. Thank you, Lord. Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name.